The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 21st, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take a complete look at the first day of the Midwest Pro Farmer John Deere Crop Tour. And don't forget that we'll get a complete look at yesterday's USDA Crop Progress Report with the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Those are five top corn-producing states in the nation. Hey, just after the bottom of the hour, too, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat at $6.91.5, up 16.5 today. December futures at $7.04 were 13 cents higher. September corn futures, $3.38.5, 6.75 higher. December futures at $3.55, up 6.25. The March contract at $3.70, up 6 cents for the day. December contract, $3.98.25, up 5.5. September soybean futures, $8.15.75, up 4 cents. November's at 8.31, we're up 3.75. And January futures at 8.45.5, we're up 4. November soybeans, $8.51.75, up 4.25. Bean meal futures, September contract at 220, 240. They were up 2 even. And September bean oil at 34.92. That was down 0.07 for the afternoon. Mercantile exchange numbers, August feeder cattle, $92.87.5, up 92.5 cents. October live cattle, 75 cents higher at 96.40. And the feeder cattle now, August contract at 116.75. They were down 37.5. September futures at 117.27.5. were a dime lower. October lean hogs at $68.20 were up $1.10 for the day. I told you that the feeder cattle August contract, it's actually live cattle, were at 92.87.5. were up 92.5 cents. From the outside markets, crude oil like this, September contract at $69.48 a barrel. It's down $1.64 at this hour. The CRB index below 300 at 299.80. That's down 2.19. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average has currently lost 45 points for the afternoon at 13,076 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Looking forward to joining you this evening down in Terre Haute.
You bet. Yeah, it'll be you and Paul Cooley from ADM Investor Services, along, of course, with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain. Looks like it should be a good evening. We kick off, what, at 7 o'clock Eastern Time?
7 o'clock Eastern Time.
Absolutely free. We sure do hope everybody will make it in for that trip this evening. If you get the opportunity, Terre Haute Grain, pretty much in downtown, close to downtown, or on the main drag there.
On the main drag, at least, yes.
Yeah, on the main drag in Terre Haute. It's awfully easy to get to. We sure do hope that we can see you, because Wayne will have some words of wisdom tonight, won't you, Wayne?
Well, we're sure going to try, Todd. You're going to been combing over things, looking here of something that might help some of the farmers out in some of their decision-making processes.
Well, they'll need to come in tonight at 7 o'clock at Terre Haute Grain to talk about that. Let's talk about what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange today to kick things off this afternoon. In the soy complex, they gained about 4 cents for the afternoon. Corn futures were up, 5 to 6 cents?
About 6 cents there, yeah. 6 to 7 cents. That's sort of the backwards of what we thought might happen to start with. And the overnight, of course, the corn was basically unchanged, and the beans were up a nickel on the crop ratings, Todd. And Then, of course, the wheat announcement this morning, I think the wheat pulled the corn a little more than it did the beans, and maybe a little bit of consideration of what the rains did do to some of the beans, you know, helping fill the pods a little better later in the day. But corn, sort of the surprising one of the day, being as strong as it was. Wonder if there's concerns about being areas being drowned out and flooded in some areas, and also that it was maybe too late in some areas to do much to help the corn crop on some of these later rains.
Indeed. Iowa was the one who surprised, where most of the surprises came up 7 percentage point in their good to excellent categories there.
Yeah, and I think it was probably the right thing. I think in some of those areas, the corn crop, you know, it maybe been, remember, they planted a little later in a lot of those areas because of the excess moisture early. So probably still very green and still very much improving. And this rain, the rain that they had gotten and been getting, can help some of that corn and bean crop up there.
Tell me about the bean market. How do you see us playing this out as we start into the latter part of August?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to be, there's a couple things there. The crop ratings, of course, went down. We've got warmer weather down south, or not warm weather continuing down in the mid-south, you know, the high temperatures and no moisture. And getting past the point of no return here soon, except on some of the late double crop beans as far as rain helping down there. So did we gain enough bushels up north to balance off with the bushels down south? You know, and report told us not quite 2% difference in that going on that way. But, you know, we have to feel in our area that we probably saved a couple bushels of production with this a little over an inch rain in our area. I can tell you that, Todd. So, but a lot of concern about beans and wet feet and sudden death syndrome and white mold and different sort of diseases like that in some of the north Midwest areas where the where it's stayed, the ground's been wet and staying wet.
All right, we'll start to hear a little bit about that from the John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour as they head through those portions of those states tomorrow, and Illinois tomorrow here on the eastern leg of that tour. We'll hear more from those tours a bit later in this program, too, today.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we saw some disappointing pod counts in Ohio, and we have heard of some disappointing pod counts in northern Illinois. Now, to the other side of that, as we look at what we do know in Arkansas today, one of our customers is combining 59.9 to 60.4 test weight, 17% moisture, and he's doing about 175 bushel corn.
That's awful good corn.
Awfully good corn. So, you know, that's the start. He's not near as hopeful for his beans, though, as we talked about the dry conditions and the extreme heat for when they were blooming and that, Todd. But, you know, some of our first indications that the corn crop down south is better than they thought it might be.
I better let you go. I need to get on the road here pretty shortly to Terre Haute so I can see you this evening.
Okay. We hope to see you, Todd, and we hope to see a lot of the other listeners.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. You can see him tonight and ask questions of he and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services and Kay Whitlock. We'll all be at Terre Haute Grain at 7 o'clock Eastern Time this evening. It's absolutely free. Just drop by and see us this evening.
Programming on AM 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at AmericanClassifieds.com.
Just after the bottom of the hour, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. Our own chief meteorologist says the two-state region will look like this tonight. In the north, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. In central and southern sections, partly cloudy and muggy, a few isolated showers and thunderstorms. Lows will range from 68 in the north to 74 in the south, central, and southern locations. Tomorrow, says Ed, in the north, partly sunny, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny, hot and humid. Highs tomorrow will range from 82 in far northwestern Illinois to 98 in the south. Well, as I'm sure you already know, the John Deere Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour is underway. The eastern leg of that tour kicked off in Columbus, Ohio yesterday, and it made its way over to Anderson, Indiana. Mark Bernard, Pro Farmer Crop Consultant from Minnesota, says variability would probably be the best way
to sum up day one.
It was just absolutely tremendous this year. The route that we ran, running down from Columbus down in between Cincinnati and Dayton and on back up into Indiana and Anderson, we saw yields vary anywhere from 90 up to 224 bushel an acre, and that is just absolutely awesome. Likewise, on the soybean side, we saw some pod counts in that 3x3 of about 682, and on the high side, we were up to about 1,600, so extreme variability.
But Bernard says you could use another word to describe conditions in some areas. Disappointing.
I guess in the route that we ran, I was a little disappointed, I guess, in what I saw as far as corn on the Ohio side of the border. Once we crossed the border into Indiana, we saw things pick up a little bit, and indications are as we head into tomorrow, that's probably what we'll see as well. That's what we saw on our way down through when we were on our way to Columbus.
Bernard describes the observations made on plants throughout day one.
From the phone call standpoint, we saw the expected drought symptoms, lower leaves peeling down, running flat against the stalks, and burned up cornfields in general. On the insect side, we saw lots of people coming back with pictures of things like Japanese beetles, bean leaf beetles, and lots of spider mite symptoms as well.
Scouts on the eastern leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour finished with Indiana today, and then they'll move on into our state, Illinois, tomorrow, while the western leg of that tour will move into Nebraska tomorrow. They started in South Dakota, where compared to a year ago, Pro Farmer showed a 5.8% increase in corn yields at 101.5 bushels per acre for the state. The tour on the western side also showed an increase in pod counts in soybeans by 15.8%. Terry Johnston is a crop consultant for Pro Farmer.
I was pleased with the soybean crop. It was fairly consistent. Not a lot of disease, insect pressure, not a lot of weeds. Quite a few pods. Pod counts actually up a little bit from last year. And so I think overall the bean crop looks real good. And noting that we usually don't have mud on our boots for the whole trip through South Dakota, usually on this western tour, that was encouraging and maybe even gives us a little more potential on the soybean crop there as far as yields go.
In the August crop production report, USDA showed an increase of 20.6% in South Dakota corn production. Johnston says they may have been too optimistic.
Based on what we saw today, we were up a little bit from last year, but I don't think to the degree that, you know, what they were measuring. I think we were a little disappointed in some of the fields we were in, some lower populations than maybe we would like to have seen. So just fewer ears to count, and then pollination issues just because of the heat at the time that it came. The rains obviously are a little bit too late to help the corn, and so might be just a little optimistic at the number that they're putting out there the first part of August.
Johnston says the different planting dates from field to field in the state made for variable conditions.
Quite variable. Talking to producers, they got in a little bit earlier than normal in some cases, but then had a stretch where they were too wet, and so that delayed plantings, and we saw everything from corn and milk stage to dent. So I think that's going to play a little bit. The earlier planted corn looks a little better. The later planted corn, the heat came at the wrong time, and again, that's where we ran into some pollination issues, I think. A lot of tip back on the ears and some inconsistencies there.
Day two of the western leg of the John Deere Pro Farmer Crop Tour will sweep through Nebraska, as you've already heard. That'll happen tomorrow. While the eastern tour finishes scouting Indiana today and moves on into Illinois tomorrow. We'll have more on Wednesday. Time now to take our weekly look at what USDA says crop progress is like across the nation and in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Those are the five top corn-producing states of the nation. 18 states nationwide reported by USDA for corn and soybeans. They say setting pods now at 92% nationwide for the soybeans. and the percent of the dropping leaves at 2% at this point. Corn in the dough stage at 81% this week. That compares to last week at 66%, and corn dented at 43% compared last week, or last year rather, to 24%. And 6% of the corn crop is considered mature. Last year, 6% of the corn crop was mature, and on the five-year rolling average, 5% around the nation. Taking a look at the numbers for the crop condition for both corn and soybeans. Corn finished the week like this, 42% in good condition, 16% in excellent condition. Last week, 41% and 15% in those two categories. Soybeans, 44% last week compared to 41% this week in good condition, and 12% last week compared to this week at 13%. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their areas.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending August 19, 2007. Rains received the past week should help corn ears and soybean pods to fill. Aphids are impacting the soybean crop, with some fields being sprayed twice. Sudden death syndrome in soybeans is being reported in many areas. Pastures are greening up with the recent rainfall. However, haying and silage cutting were halted due to wet fields. Cooler temperatures associated with the rains are helping livestock, though insects continue to be an issue. Farmers are preparing equipment and storage for the upcoming harvest. The statewide average precipitation across Iowa was 2.52 inches, or more than double the weekly normal of 1.09 inches. This past week was the wettest week since May 2004. Temperatures for the week averaged from 1 degree below normal in the northeast to 6 degrees above normal in the southwest, with a statewide average of 2.9 degrees warmer than usual. There were 3.9 days suitable for field work, compared to 3.8 days a year ago. Topsoil moisture rate of 12% very short or short, 70% adequate, and 18% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rate of 17% very short or short, 71% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn condition rated 8% very poor or poor, 21% fair, and 71% good or excellent. This is a 7-point improvement in the good to excellent rating from last week. Corn in dough stage is at 73%, 1 percentage point behind last year, but 9 points ahead of the 5-year average. Corn in dent stage is at 39%, ahead of last year's 34%, and the 5-year average of 23%. Soybean condition is rated at 5% very poor or poor, 19% fair, and 76% good or excellent. This is a 5% improvement in the good to excellent rating from last week. This has been Joe Prusaki with the weekly Crops and Weather Report for the week ending August 19, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending August 19th. The pattern of above-normal temperatures, accompanied with the absence of any measurable rainfall, plagued the southern crop reporting districts of the state once again last week. Topsoil moisture supplies continued their downward slide in this region, with the Southeast Crop Reporting District now reporting 100% as very short. The Southwest Crop Reporting District was also abnormally dry, with a reading of 77% very short, 15% short, and only 8% adequate. Just the opposite was the case in the Northern Illinois Crop Reporting Districts, where above-normal precipitation fell, supplementing their already moist soils. Statewide, topsoil moisture averaged 28% very short, 29% short, 32% adequate, and 11% surplus, a slight improvement over last week. The corn crop continues to advance about 1 week ahead of normal, spurred by above-normal temperatures. 60% has now entered the dent stage, compared to 50% 1 year ago and 45% for the 5-year average. 9% of the crop was reported mature, compared to 5% 1 year ago and 4% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn maturity was the Southwest district, with 58% rated mature, putting the start of harvest no more than a week away. Soybean plants setting pods advanced to 97%, which leads the 91% 1 year ago and 88% for the 5-year average. 5% of the crop has now started turning yellow, and this compares to 2% last year and 3% for the 5-year average. Leading the state in soybean maturity was the Southwest Crop Reporting District, where 25% of the crop there was turning yellow, partially attributed to the hot, dry conditions. In other crops around the state, sorghum plants were coloring on 47% of the fields. The third cutting of alfalfa advanced to 69% complete, and pasture conditions continued to decline again last week, especially in the southern half of the state. This has been Brad Schwab reporting for the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending August 19, 2007. Corn conditions rated 79% good or excellent, well above last year's 55% rating. Irrigated fields rated 87% good or excellent, while dryland fields rated 66, both above year-ago levels. Corn in the dent stage was 46%, behind last year's 49, but ahead of the 36 average. Soybean conditions rated 75% good or excellent, well above last year's 50% condition. Soybean setting pods was 93%, behind last year's 96 and even with the average. Alfalfa conditions rated 60% good or excellent, well above last year's 26%. Sorghum conditions rated 78% good or excellent, well above last year's 53%. Pasture and range conditions rated 55% good or excellent, well above last year's 8%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAST Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAST Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending August 19, 2007. Harvest of spring wheat and canola progressed rapidly in the northwest corner of the state, despite midweek precipitation. Showers received through Friday helped to improve topsoil moisture supplies, more notably in the central and southern Minnesota. While pasture conditions improved slightly, corn and soybean conditions were relatively unchanged from the previous week. The average temperature for the week was 65.3 degrees, 2.8 degrees below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 30% very short, 38% short, 30% adequate, and 2% surplus. As of Sunday, August 19th, 73% of the corn acreage was in the dough stage, compared to 51% for the five-year average. Corn in the dent stage was 37%, compared to 13% for the average. Farmers made good progress cutting corn for silage, with 16% harvested, nearly 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average pace. 97% of the soybeans were setting pods, compared to 94% for the average. 6% of the soybeans were turning yellow. 81% of spring wheat and 96% of the oats were harvested. As of Friday, August 17th, 33% of the field corn and 43% of the soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. 89% of potatoes, 66% of sunflowers, and 61% of sugar beets were rated in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending August 19, 2007. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Matley with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the crop weather report for week ending August 19th. Indiana crops continue to suffer due to high temperatures and little rain. The northwest part of the state did receive rain, but also received strong winds that damaged crops. In the central and southern areas, very little rain was received. Soybeans are stressed from the weather situation, and there is concern about pod filling. Corn condition varies across the state. 89% of the corn acreage is in the dough stage, compared with 81% last year and 72% for the average. 41% of the corn acreage is now dented, compared with 34% last year and 29% for the five-year average. 3% of the corn acreage is matured, compared with 0% last year and 1% for the average. Corn condition declined and is rated 38% good to excellent, compared with 72% last year at this time. 92% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared with 83% last year and 82% for the five-year average. Soybean condition declined and is rated 35% good to excellent, compared to 72% last year at this time. Third cutting of alfalfa hay is 56% complete, compared with 65% last year and 52% for the average. Major activities during the week included spraying for aphids, cleaning out grain bins, ready equipment for harvest, and attending state fair. Pasture condition declined and is rated only 6% good to excellent. Last week there were 6 days suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture was rated 37% very short, 31% short, 29% adequate, and 3% surplus. subsoil moisture was rated 37% very short, 38% short, 24% adequate, and 1% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0 to 2.33 inches across the state. Temperatures averaged 3 degrees below to 8 degrees above normal, with a high of 104 and a low of 48. This is Greg Matley reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL Urbana. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A former federal prosecutor who led the investigation of corruption under George Ryan says he's grateful that an appeals court feels that Ryan got a fair trial. Today, the three-judge panel ruled against Ryan's appeal, saying the change in jurors during deliberations didn't affect the fairness of the trial. Patrick Collins says the prosecution team is likely very proud, and he says the former governor may have to report to prison in the next few days. However, a team from Ryan's attorneys group says that they may take the case to the Supreme Court if need be. Collins says the appeals court order that's allowed Ryan to remain free on bond pending his appeal also specified that he'd have to report to prison within 72 hours unless he was granted a new trial. The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against that possibility today, saying the trial judge properly handled issues with the jury. Collins says Ryan can still continue his appeals, but he'd have to report to prison regardless. Another round of bargaining takes place tonight between Mahomet Seymour school board members and teachers' union representatives threatening a strike. The two sides have not been able to come to terms on a new contract as the school year begins. A union spokesman is hopeful that tonight's negotiating session can result in an agreement. Immigration reform activist Elvira Arellano says officials were in a hurry to deport her because they saw her threatening to mobilize and organize people for change. She says she has a fighting spirit and will continue to fight despite being removed from the country. Arellano was arrested in California this week, not long after she had left the Chicago church where she had sought refuge for more than a year. The father of a Purdue student who is fatally shocked says he hopes a $500,000 settlement in the case prompts other colleges to check their own safety procedures. Purdue says they'll pay $500,000 to Wade Steffi's parents and create a $100,000 endowment for a scholarship in his name. Steffi died in January in a high-voltage campus utility room, but his body wasn't discovered until 2 months later. A report prepared for the university said that Steffi may have entered the utility room through a door with a faulty lock. A new Illinois law aims to make it harder for scrap metal thieves to sell stolen goods to unwitting dealers. The law requires dealers to copy a government-issued photo ID of the sellers and to take a picture of their license plate. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest.
Well, in the Midwest, there is more wetness coming, especially in the northern and western areas where they could really use a break. Now, the central and southern areas of the Corn Belt Midwest going to be a little bit drier, but we certainly do see before the week or the weekend's over some more opportunities for some showers and storms.
And if you look out further, do we heat up and stay that hot for very long, too?
Well, there's going to be plenty of warm air coming. The heat wave of the last week or two won't be prolonged in terms of intensity, but we certainly see the temperature readings across the Midwest and Corn Belt staying warm at least through the next 10 days. All of our long-range charts are projecting that temperatures should average well above normal over a good chunk of the U.S., especially here in the Midwest. Between now and that would take us almost all the way up to the end of the month.
Not so great if you're in one of the areas that's dry. Not terribly bad if you've had enough rainfall. I think Iowa was up 7 percentage points in their good to excellent category for corn over the last week.
Yeah, and for folks there, that if they want more rain, they should be getting it. We think that Nebraska, Iowa, southeastern South Dakota, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin, they're headed towards more rain before this week is over. Now, I know there are some areas that don't need any more, but there's more coming. Now, later into the forecast period, especially in the next week, we may see some of the focal point of those showers drifting a little bit further south into the Midwest. And quite honestly, a lot of the rain that's going to happen past 7 to 10 days, well, it could be influenced by what happens in the tropics, as there will be some more activity coming into the Gulf of Mexico, the southeast United States, that may have some impact ultimately on our weather here.
And might that have an impact all the way up into the Decatur, Illinois area, where on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, the Farm Progress Show will kick off?
Well, right now, what our forecast chart show is the possibility that some of that moisture could be there. So right now, I would say the chances of rain during that time frame are looking pretty good, at least now.
Yeah, let's hope it holds off across the Farm Progress Show site over those 3 days. Maybe we better check in on South America and see how they're setting up for the growing season.
It's hard to believe we're already there. But, yeah, it's starting that growing season right now, and they could use some moisture in Brazil. Brazil has been dry. They're going to continue to be dry. So soil moisture there is going to be a concern. Argentina has got some dry spots, but they've been a little more moist, and Argentina's got the best chance of seeing some moisture.
And just like here in the United States, where we're heading into the final stretch for the growing season, China, for their corn and soybean crop, is in their final stretch, too. What do
they
look like?
They are in wet. It looks like most of China looking at near to above normal precipitation in those growing areas as well. Temperatures there, well, they're going to be in some areas a little bit below normal. So if there's some crop progress that needs help along with a little bit of heat, well, some of those areas may have a little bit of catching up to do for the end of this month.
Don, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks much. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear that again, you can always do it on our website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.